chapter 1. The first couple of verses there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Why do you believe what you believe about Jesus? It's a great question. All of us need to be thinking through what we believe about Jesus. It is crucial for our witness when we're talking to people about Jesus that they will ask questions that we may never have thought about before. Children are great at that, aren't they? The famous question that children often ask is, who made God? Or who was God's mummy and daddy? And most of us struggle to answer these kinds of questions. Of course, the psalmist would tell us, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So there never was a beginning of God. There, he was always there. He was always there. Have you ever heard someone say to you, I've been there? You're going through some sort of problem or some sort of crisis and you need reassurance, and the person in front of you says, I've been there. I've been there. Well, that's the word I believe God wants to bring to us tonight. When we think of Jesus, hear him say to us, I've been there. I've been there. I've been there. Of course, we don't just think about God. In fact, Jesus doesn't just leave it at that. He calls us to follow him. He's looking for an encounter with God. Jesus wants us to encounter him, not just to think about him, not just to have answers, but to have real experience of relationship with him. And this chapter, for all its high, lofty theology, and just, it's like an overture at the beginning, just mapping out everything that John's going to say in this gospel, and it's such wonderful language. But let's not think that it's just words to give us deep concepts about God. It's leading us to encounter, leading us to a relationship, because that is what the incarnation is all about. God coming to us for a relationship. And the more we get to know this Jesus, the more we should have a sense of awe, a sense of holy fear, not a terror, but a sense of respect, an awesome respect. And sometimes we come to learn who he is, and it takes our breath away. The opponents of Jesus were really homing in and trying to criticize him. And they asked him who he was. He says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So the Jews, it doesn't go back much further than Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. But of course, the words I am are in the very name of God, Yahweh. I am who I am. And at this, they picked up stones to stone to death because of who he was saying he was. You may also recall the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And Jesus said, "Who is it that you want?" And he said, "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he." And they fell. They prostrated themselves in the presence of God. I don't know what happened in that garden, but there was an insight into the awesomeness of who Jesus was. This encounter for them was an encounter which was one of fear. And Jesus wants us to encounter him truly tonight. See, whenever we go through life, if we really knew who Jesus was, it would make such a difference to how we prayed and how we lived. You see, we can come to Jesus in prayer at any time. We can bring situations to him in the name of Jesus, and to know that his name is so powerful, so incredibly powerful. We can come to Jesus for wisdom, and to know that he has such incredible wisdom. He's not just Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Lord of all. And when we grasp that, then we have a sense of awe at what Christmas is all about. The fact that God Almighty would come to us. And John's gospel begins with these words, "In the beginning." Can we go much further back than that? I don't think we can. A lot of stories begin with "once upon a time," don't they? John's gospel starts with "before time." Before time, Jesus was there. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. He was there right at the beginning. He was there. The first thing that we're told in this chapter, but also in the whole of the New Testament, is that Jesus is the author of life. He's not just the one through whom we see life in all its fullness. He's that as well. He was actually there when God said, "Let there be light." Did Jesus say it? I believe he did. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," do you notice it's not in the singular, it's in the plural? Let us, Father and Son and Spirit. He was there when we were created. When it says in the Psalms, Psalm 139, "You created me in my inmost being." You created me. Jesus of Nazareth made us. Jesus of Nazareth, as the song says, flung stars into space. And these same hands to cruel nails surrendered. If ever it needed to be underlined, it's certainly done here. It says that in verse 3, "Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made." That means that there is no part of life that Jesus does not understand. There is no part of life that he cannot help us with. Young people tonight, if you're doing your homework, Jesus can help you with your homework. All the subjects, even the really difficult maths things, because he made everything. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we do not bring it to him in prayer. But he is the author of life. He understands everything. Colossians goes further and says that he sustains all things, that everything in the universe is held together by his word. Even a sparrow that would fall to the ground, Jesus knows about it. How does that change your confidence level as a follower of Jesus, the author of life? It should send your confidence soaring. This Jesus lives in you. He's also the source of all wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8, if you can. If you can't find it, don't worry, I will read it to you. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth and its fields, or any of the dust of the world, I was there. I was there when he set the heavens in place. You see, long before Jesus of Nazareth walked the streets of Galilee and Jerusalem, there was a scripture in the wisdom literature of Israel which talked that when God created the world, he didn't do it on his own. There was someone alongside him, someone working with him. And before Jesus came to Bethlehem, the Jewish people spoke about this as wisdom. God and wisdom working together. But in the New Testament, we see that Christ is the one in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That he is the wisdom of God. He is the one who comes to help us to make sense of life. See, the key to making sense of our lives is to get closer to Jesus. The closer to Jesus, the closer we are to reality. So much of life is now virtual reality. We see that through the internet. We see that through many different ways in which life is said to be found. We open the magazines and they tell us this is where life is to be found. Amongst the beautiful people with the beautiful clothes and the beautiful cars. And it all seems quite real, but it's not as real as Jesus. is not as real as Jesus. A lot of these things are shadows, but the reality is found in Christ. And as we gain Christ's wisdom, we can then take that wisdom into every part of life and make it beautiful for him. It's not a world-denying discipleship. It's a world-affirming discipleship, but Christ and his wisdom. The greatest temptation in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it, was that Adam and Eve were told that they didn't really need God, that they could have life without God, that they could increase their knowledge through taking the fruit. But although we may increase our knowledge, it is only in partnership with God that we have true wisdom. So let us pray that we'll be able to receive from God that sense of reality. Maybe there's things in our life that we can't see clearly, and we need to ask God to help us to see these things clearly. And he'll surely show us. So he's the author of life, he's the source of all wisdom, and he's the bringer of revelation. Back to John 1. In John 1, verse 9, it says, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." And as I said earlier, it's more than ideas. It's more than intellectual thinking. It's a real person. This is what the same writer said in his letter in 1 John. This is how he introduces the letter. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." This God who is revealed to us can be touched. He can be seen. We can have a conversation with him. This is what they're saying here. And there was something about the way that he looked at people with compassion. There was something about the way that he touched people and they were healed. Even as people touched him, power, the power of God flowed from him to them. It was a physical encounter. And of course, Jesus is not here physically now. He's at the Father's right hand. But his Spirit is here. His Spirit is here. And we can experience Christ among us through his Spirit. It says, "Where two or three are gathered, that Christ is in the midst." I was praying with a friend on Thursday evening, quite late. And it was one of these prayer times where it started quite slow, and then at the end, we were both smiling. So we both just had a real sense that Jesus was amongst us, that Jesus was here, and that Jesus was speaking to us, that Jesus was bringing comfort to us, that Jesus was releasing wisdom to us. And as we opened our eyes, we looked at each other and we smiled and we said, "That was great, because Jesus was here." And that's the promise that we take into this week, that Jesus is so real. He's so near. And if you're on your own and you're struggling, find someone to pray with and pray in the name of Jesus. and you will see him bring that light and that life into the specifics of your life. So he's the author. He's the author of life. He's the source of wisdom. He's the bringer of revelation. And he's the dwelling place of God. This is what it says at the end of John 1. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. He made his dwelling among them. The word is the same word that's used in the Old Testament for the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, which was used as a place of worship, but also the place where God's presence rested. And it was said that the Israelites, they would only move when God's presence moved. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. And so that cloud would come and would fill that tent, and Moses would meet with God and give guidance to the people. And then when that cloud moved on, the people moved on. But it says here that now we have Jesus physically here on earth, Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, and God's presence filled him. All the fullness of the deity came in bodily form. There was never a human being that was more full of God. He was God. And there never was anyone who was so human as Jesus, because the original humanity was to be filled with the presence of God. Genesis talks about walking with God. And that's what we're called to do, to walk with Jesus. He goes ahead of us, and we go where he goes. You see, we're not only called to think about him, we're not only called to have right ideas about him, which is all very important, we're called to follow him. And he shows us, and as we go through this series, we're going to learn more about who this Jesus is and what it means to have this relationship with him, what it means to be someone who prays in the name of Jesus, someone who is aware of who he really, really is. But I'd like to finish by reading Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And it just helps me to underline that thought, that one big idea that came to me as I was preparing for tonight. This idea that Jesus says, I've been there. I've been there. I always was there. You can trust me. You can ask me for wisdom. You can ask me for guidance. I will show you the way. I will give you my comfort. I have been there. And it says in Hebrews that we do not have a high priest, 4:15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He has been there. He not only was there with God in the beginning, he has been there as a human being. And we come to him tonight with confidence because his name is powerful. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we do not take it to Jesus, the author of creation, the source of all wisdom, the bringer of revelation, the very dwelling of God's presence, and the one who sympathizes with our weaknesses and longs to pour out his mercy, to pour out his grace. Let's turn to him now in prayer. Almighty and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the real thing, that you are the reality that we need tonight. And if you had stayed in heaven, it would be so difficult to relate to you. We thank you for the ways that you revealed yourself to Israel through the law, through the temple, through the prophets. But you've given us great privilege that we live in a time after Jesus. We live knowing that we can read about him and what he did, and we can also read about the churches that have followed him. And tonight, Lord, we pray that you would come to us afresh, that you'd help us to trust you with all of our lives, that you'd help us to trust you in ways that we've never trusted you before. If there are parts of our life where we've got a no-entry sign, not allowing your Spirit to come in, we pray, Lord, tonight that we would invite you into that place too, that every part of our life would be touched by Jesus. Father, we pray that you would come to us and pour out your wisdom. Forgive us for the times when we try to work it out all by ourselves and phone all the friends we can phone, and then eventually we turn to you. Lord, we want to be people that come to you first as a first step, because you have all the wisdom. We thank you that you came and you gave light to the world, and we pray for us as a church family over this Christmas season that the light of Christ would shine brightly from this church and from our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the baptism this morning and for the witness of Marna and Joan. And we pray for them especially. We pray especially for them this week as they explain to their friends what happened to them on Sunday, that they would be able to be the light to their friends. And Lord, we pray for our own prayer lives, that we would take steps to gather in triplets, to believe the promise that you dwell in the midst, in power, that you want to be with your people, and that we would experience the power that's in the name of Jesus in our prayer lives. We want to pray tonight, Lord, for those who are just sensing that their situation is beyond their own resources. And Lord, we pray that you would deliver help to them tonight, directly from your Spirit, but also through this church, that they would be able to ask for help, and that we could be Christ to them. Lord, we want to pray for Sally, who's been pretty ill for this last week. We thank you that she was in church this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you are restoring her. And we thank you, Lord, for all the people here tonight who are working and caring for sick people, whether that be through pastoral ministry or maybe that's through professional work. Lord, help us to be your hands, your feet this week. So, Lord, thank you for who you are. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless us as we learn more about you in this next few weeks, that we would indeed search for you. Search for you with all of our hearts and would find you, and that we would also introduce you to others. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.